chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 in the New Testament, near the end of the New Testament. And thank God you're here. I'm glad you're here. There's nothing like church. Amen. Church is so important. I cannot say enough how important church is. Sometimes you don't feel like coming, but it's so important that you do. Church is something that you ought to make a top priority in your life. And we're going to see that this morning. I'm going to preach, God's help, on the importance of coming to church. The importance of coming to church. Look with me, starting in verse number 19. We'll stop at verse 25. A few verses we'll read. Chapter 10 of Hebrews, starting in verse number 19 through 25. And let's read now. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And let's pray. Father, I know in this hour that God, I cannot do this. I don't even know. I just feel unable. And I mean that. Lord, I need You to lead me and place Thy touch on me and help me. May I preach it just like You'd want this morning. God, pour out Thy power. May the unction that lives in me, may He preach through me, the wonderful Spirit. And I beg of Thee for this. I also pray that You would help people this morning, Your believers, to have a stronger love and desire for the local church than ever before. May we truly heed the command, as so much the more, as we get closer and closer. Dear Father, help us, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful, glorious name, amen. And you may be seated. Hebrews chapter 10, the book of Hebrews is about better things, and Jesus is better. Jesus is better. That's the theme of the book of Hebrews, that Jesus is better. You find out that He's better than angels, He's better than priests, He's better than prophets, He's better than kings. He's better than the old way of life. In the Old Testament, they worshipped a location, the tabernacle. And then the temple is where the power, the glory of God rested. It was there where the glory of God was in the temple. And in the Old Testament, you had to get to location to be in the very presence of God. And there was a ceremonial keeping, a ritual in the Old Testament. And Hebrews shows us again how great it is to live in the New Testament. The new covenant, the new way of life, the new and living way where Christ lives in us. You that are saved, listen, your body has become the dwelling place of the glory of God. In the Old Testament, it was the tabernacle and then the temple. God dwelt with man. And in the New Testament, which is the day we're living in, because of Jesus, God's glory dwells in us. He lives in us. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have. Ye are not your own. So you're not yours anymore. The day you asked Christ to save you, He came inside you. He changed you completely. He washed away the sins of this world in your life. He forgave you and gave you a new life in Christ, a new creature. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When I got saved, I became new. I told you before, it's like that barber. he was a hairstylist. He got saved. And when he got saved, he changed the name of his hair place. And it's a barbershop that you go down in Chattanooga and find. It's called A New You. Amen. Because he became a new man. And now every time I get my hair cut, when I step out of the chair, I go, I just feel like I just got saved again. A new you, you know. And that's how salvation is. When you get saved, it's a new you. And thank God you don't have to get saved several times. Once and for all, eternal possession. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. The Bible says, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And the day I asked Jesus to save me was the day I possessed eternal life. And I have it now for all eternity. And listen, it is better to be with Jesus. Look what it says in verse number 20. By a new and living way, this is the new covenant that we've entered in. Christ, because he went to the cross of Calvary and died for you. Because he died for you, he allowed his body to be rent for the sins of the world. When you take the Lord's Supper and they take the bread, and Jesus took it that night and said, I break my body for you. And it represented that everyone, his body had been broken for them. He was a veil that was rent. Jesus gave his life's blood to forgive us and save us. And because of Calvary, because of salvation in Jesus, there's a new way we live in. We have the Spirit of God living in us. If you're saved this morning, you've got Jesus in you, Christ in me. You have God living in you. It's pretty amazing. It's powerful. Spectacular. There's comfort with the Spirit of God. There's hope with Jesus. Can I help you out? Hey, there's hope with Jesus because he lives in you. He's inside you. He doesn't leave you. He will not forsake you. He's forever with you. Hallelujah. You're forever saved. The Bible says, by a new and living way, verse 20, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest of the house of God. Now, because we've been saved, because the Holy Spirit lives in us, look what he says, let us draw near. Because you've been saved, guess what? You can draw near to God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. There's a new way. You can worship God without going to Jerusalem. One time we were having an altar call, and a little boy was on his knees praying, and he peeked up and said, Pastor, Pastor. I said, yes, young man. Which way is Jerusalem so I can pray towards it? I said, don't worry about it, man. Just pray right now. I'll talk to you after the service. You know, we don't have a location anymore. Christ lives in us. And so now we can draw near. You can worship God anytime you want, any place. You can be in the presence of God. As the song says, somebody help me. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own. He lives in me. Let us draw near. Amen. You don't have to have an evil conscience anymore. You don't have to have the guilt to plague you. You can walk with God and know God. It don't matter how long you've been saved, long or short, every child of God can walk with Jesus Christ because he's in you. A new and living way, let us draw near. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession. When you got saved, you confessed people that you got saved, didn't you? Anyone tell anybody that you got saved? If you got saved in our church, we pointed it out. Amen? And so-and-so, did you ask Jesus Christ to save you today? Yes. Amen. That was a profession. You professed Christ and told people. Has anyone ever thought this?
I'm just afraid that if I tell someone I got saved, I won't be able to keep my confession. I'll go back in the world.
Have you ever thought that before? Well, you know, you don't have to. Because the Holy Ghost lives in us, we can hold fast the profession of our faith. Without wavering, the Bible says, for he is faithful that promise. Let me help you out. Anyone ever read in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, after they crossed the Red Sea, how long did it take for them to bicker? Just down the road. I mean, they watch God open the waters, they walk on dry ground, and then all of a sudden they're going, if he going to feed us, he should have just left us in Egypt to die there instead of die hungry out here. And you read that, you go, how could they do that? I'll tell you why. See, in the Old Testament, he didn't live in them. And it was hard to hold fast the profession of your faith. Don't you understand that we're living on a better way right now? We're living in a better system. We have the new covenant, Christ in me. God dwells in mankind. And so when you got saved, you can, because He does. He lives in you. You can hold fast the profession of your faith. That man that gets saved doesn't ever have to touch alcohol again. That woman that got saved never has to go into a life of being a harlot again. That man, that drunk, fiend, teenager, that addicted child, hey, they never have to go back into that again because they can hold fast the profession because of Jesus without wavering. God's been good to us, amen. God's been so good to us. Not only let us draw near, let us hold fast profession. The Bible says in verse 24, let us consider one another. Carefully take note of each other. Now here's what the Lord knew somebody would say. Notice again verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. In other words, it says this. We should take note of every believer and do our best to encourage each other, to incite in you. I should do my best to help you want to love people and live for Jesus. Iron sharpening iron. I'm to help encourage you. You're to help encourage me. See, God knew that somebody would say, well, I'm saved. I got the Spirit of God in me. Why do I need to go to church? I can worship at home. House church with my missus and my children and my doggie. House church. Why you got to go to church all the time? Why they meet on Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night, special meeting. People talk that way. You know I'm telling the truth. Why do I got to go to church? After all, I can worship Jesus on my fishing boat. They say things like that. Lord, help us. Heard somebody one time talking about hunting. And he said, don't you know, great outdoors. That's God, G-O-D, great outdoors. You are so ignorant or foolish, one of the two. I'll be kind and say ignorant. That's not how you worship God. You don't say, I've got the Spirit of God living in me now. I don't have to come to church. Because the Spirit of God lives in you, it's a demand from God that you now care about everybody else. Because we're family. When you got saved, guess what? You became my brother, my sister. We're all one family now. You didn't get the Holy Spirit of God in you, and now we're distant. We've got the same God living in us. We're family members now. Hey, and last time I checked, brothers and sisters, look out for one another. My girls go to a Christian school in town. If you can, and get your children in a Christian school. Amen. And we had teacher meeting the other day. You know, I got to find out how they're doing their grades. Amen. No comment. No, honestly, my girls, they're doing good. Praise God. A's, all A's and one got one B. I mean, doing great. And I asked, I said, how they do social? Oh, they're good social. They do good. They connect with everybody. I said, okay. How about with one another? I get that they talk to everybody, but what about each other? They start laughing. Well, they really act like the other one's not there. You know, say you'll walk right beside Emma and they just keep walking. I'm like, girls, I've seen an action before when I visited. What are y'all doing? You know y'all are sisters, right? But I like what the teacher says. She said, but I'll tell you this, those two girls, they have each other's back. Because that's what family has. That's what brothers and sisters do. I promise you right now, if Emma came out of class one day crying and Sadie saw her, Sadie would be a little torn over it. Want to know what's wrong with Emma? I know if my sister called me tonight and my sister said, Josh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Just like that, my heart's going to be very sensitive towards my sister. Family, they care for one another. And when you got saved, you didn't get called and saved to be by yourself. You got saved to help the family out. Consider one another. When was the last time you thought about a church member and carefully took note of their well-being? How they've been? What their work week's been like? What they could be going through? You say, preacher, you don't even understand. I don't want to come to church. There's days I feel so backslidden and so wicked. How could I help anybody if I came to church? That's just the amazing thing about God. Did you know even when you're not where you ought to be, just by showing up to church, sometimes you'll help somebody else that's not where they need to be. They'll see your smiling face and all you say, I'm putting on a show. Well, let me tell you what, it encouraged somebody. Amen. I've been there before where I haven't been where I need to be, but someone told me, oh, you sure did help me the other day. I'm thinking, help you? I needed help. Amen. But thanks be to God. God has made this a family. You may notice we say sister, brother, and sister around here. It's because we're a family. And these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all shed a tear. Amen. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus. As we, God wants you to know that church is important. The local church, He's commanded every one of us to carefully take note, pay attention to the family of God. And that's why it says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Hello. That's local church. I just don't feel like going to church today. Well, let me just say, first off, I'm not going to give you what I think is good. I'm going to tell you what God's told you to do. Come. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. The assembling of yourselves forsaking. In other words, don't leave anybody behind. Carefully take note. Care about one another. And don't leave anybody behind. Hey, don't leave your church behind. Don't you stay at home. Don't you miss. If God can help you get there, get there. Because you're going to help me. You know this preacher gets helped by you coming. Trust me, it's hard to preach if nobody's here. I'll say, well, I'm topside today. But boy, when I look out and see faces, just you coming helps me. And just you coming helps somebody else. There's people in here that kind of count on you being here. There's visitors that come that look for your face, your smiling face, your friendly smile, the encouragement that you give them as a family member, a brother in the Lord, a sister in the Lord. Not forsaking yourselves together. The Bible says the assembling of ourselves, the assembling of ourselves. See, listen, boy, this is getting good. You know, one day we'll assemble one last time. Up in the air. The rapture of the church. The dead in Christ shall rise. They that are living, we will all be caught up together in the air. And that'll be another church meeting. People that hadn't been there, He'll gather them. This phrase, when it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, not forsaking as the manner of some is. So when it says forsaking the assembling of yourselves, many times before in the intertestament periods, that phrase would be kind of used in reference to money, how someone would do all he could to get all his money together. And God is wanting us, and one day we'll have the final one where He'll do all He can to get us all together. He'll rapture us out together. One day we'll be with Him for all eternity. But as we look to that day, we're still to be coming together now. God wants us all to come together. Come on, get out from there. Come on up here. Let's go. Let's all meet together. Let's all get together as a family. Not forsaking is the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Did you know already? You know people that miss church, it's been going on for a long time. Everyone got your Bible? Or listen good? As the manner of some is, already in this day people were missing church. People that miss church has been going on for a long time. Pastors have been going like this for a long time. Where are they at? God wants you to not miss church as the manner of some is. The habit. Some people got a habit where they miss it. God's not called you to have a habit of missing church. God's called you to come to church. You say, well, should I feel guilty for missing church? Well, would you feel guilty if your mom called you 16 times in one week and you hadn't called her back? I'll show you that in a moment. as the manner of some is. The Bible says, but exhorting one another. Again, that's why we come to church, to exhort one another. And let me help you out. If we do not meet and assemble, we would become apostates. If we do not come together to encourage one another and help each other, Lord, we would backslide. We would become apostates. We would get discouraged. When you don't feel like coming to church, you better get up out of bed. You better get yourself ready. You better splash water on your face, because you will miss what God could do in your life. Even the powers of hell fear when people meet at church. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He built His church. We meet as a church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Amen? You ought to make it a very important act. It ought to be a priority in your life. A habit of not forsaking, but meeting. And look what the Bible says to this note. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. Well, what does that mean? So much the more. It's like a recipe talk. You know, if I was to have a recipe and I'm like, well, just how much sugar? Should I put this much? And then someone beside me says, oh no, so much the more. That means you need to add some more. And God is saying, the closer we get to His coming, we ought to be adding the more meetings, church time. Do we have to come to church three times? You know what? We probably should add a day. Amen. So much the more. I think we're closer to His return today than we were last year. I think we're getting closer to His return. God says the greater, the more you should be adding. Look what it says. So much the more as ye see the day approaching. Well, what day is He talking about? He's talking about that day when He comes back. He's talking about the final assembly. Now, I want you to stay with me. I'm about to tell you about how we can FaceTime Jesus, Skype the Lord Jesus. Pretty interesting. But did you know that when we assemble ourselves together, according to this verse, we are giving a sign that we are excited about His appearing? The more we meet, when we come to the house of God, we're showing Jesus Christ that we cannot wait until the assembly comes for once and all. When the day comes, His final day, where He comes and gets His children. The day of His approaching. So much the more as ye see the day approaching, the day that He comes to get us. See, in other words, church is a... You know, you come to church to exhort one another. But you also come to church not only to worship and exhort, but you come to church to show Christ that you're excited that He's coming. Listen, let's be honest. Who is excited that one day He's coming to get us out of this world? Praise God. Well, prove it by showing up now. I can't wait to be in heaven with all the brothers and sisters and family of God. I can't stay in church. Bunch of hypocrites. I don't want to be in that place. Hello. I can't stand Sister So-and-so. Well, you'll spend forever with her. You might as well get used to her now. You should be meeting. See, this is what He's saying. Listen right here. Don't miss it. God's saying, you need this. You're going to miss a blessing. You need this. And when you meet, you're telling me, you're ready for me to come get us. Come back. It's kind of like Skype, FaceTime. So let's pretend, you know, a few weeks ago I was in China with my wife, and we would FaceTime our girlies. And the girls were always excited to see us. We would get together, and you know what we would talk about on FaceTime? Let's be honest. I mean, yeah, it's pretty neat that I was in China. But you know what they really want to talk about? Daddy, when are you coming back? When are you coming back, Daddy? You know, when we meet together, we assemble ourselves together, We're telling God, as we see the day approaching, so much the more, Father, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? My girls would always ask me every time, Daddy, what do you have for us? What did you get us in? What Chinese gift do you have for us? And see, we get to look at our Father every time we meet in church and we're reminded of promises. What do you got for us, God, when you come back for us? In my house are many mansions. I've prepared a place for you. And if I, that's why it says John 14, if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. See, church meeting is like FaceTime. And the Lord Jesus looks down at us and we look up to Him. We say, we're together, Lord. When are you coming back, Daddy? And what you got for us? And you know what God does? He does just like I did my girlies. I say, girls, now tell me, you been good? Have you been good for Sister So-and-so? And have you been good for Grammy and the Barracks? You been good for them? And see, Jesus, when we meet in church and we FaceTime Him, we say, Lord, when are you coming back? What you got for us? And Father looks down and says, you being good down there? You being good down there? I'm about to come. I'm coming back. Are you excited? We're excited. You being good for me down there. Come into the house of God provokes one another. It encourages us. It helps us keep going for God because He's coming back. And we should be meeting more and more. You don't meet less and less. You don't have a golf day on Sunday. You don't have a fishing tournament on Sunday. Hey, if you're going to miss something, you tell your boss, I'm taking a week off to go fishing. He says, you can't do that. Well, I can't miss church, so it's either you or child. I mean, listen, let's make some priorities. Let's know that church means something to us, that Jesus is coming back, and we meet so we can say, Lord, when you coming? You know, when I FaceTimed our girls, they didn't miss it. Even Callie would crawl in there, go like this. Sister Melissa, your mom and dad's on the phone, and they go, that's okay, we're going outside, we don't care about that. They came to find out. You know how they are. Yeah. Well, how are you doing in church? You say, well, I can miss some. No, that's a bad habit. It says not forsaking the assembly. Let me ask you, when is there a good time to miss church? You say, well, when I'm not spiritually where I... Look right here. Well, when I'm not spiritually where I need to be. No, that's when you need to be here. When's a good time, Miss Church? Well, when I had a fight with the missus. No, that's when you need to be here. When is a good time to miss church? When I'm doubting the truths of God. No, that's a good time to be here. It don't matter how you are spiritually, there's never a time to forsake the assembly. We get to face Skype, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we meet Him, we assemble ourselves and we're telling Him, when are you coming back? This world's awful. I miss you, Father. And what kind of goodies have you promised us? He says, I'm coming back to get you and I'm going to wipe away the tears. I'm going to give you no more night, no more darkness. We're going to start an eternity with one another forever and ever. And so shall you be with the Lord forever. Comfort. The Bible says to comfort one another with these words. Amen. It's good to be in church. Prioritize that thing. It don't matter. Brother Travis said, we've been traveling lately, but don't worry, preacher. When we travel, we still make church. Hallelujah to Jesus. Assemble. Assemble. And you never know, the day you come might be the day I need you to come just to help me out. You could help me. Listen, he says in the Bible, and we'll close with this. He says in the Bible, in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul says that the Roman believers encouraged him in the Lord. Well, I wonder how discouraged he was. Paul, the great apostle. Maybe he was ready to quit. We don't know. He's human just like I and you. We are. It was the encouragement of the believers that had him say, "Time, just keep on going. Keep on going." We need to see the importance of church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I'll tell you this. Let me give you this verse. This is an amazing verse. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Listen to this. He's talking about the local church. He's talking about the church. He says, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Did you know that church is so spectacular, so important, so wonderful, that it was a mystery for years and years and years? And now Christ has made a decision to show His great wisdom through the church. And it's such wisdom that even angels look at the display of the local church. Our church is a theater displaying the great manifold wisdom of God. And even high beings look at the church and go, "Wow, the wisdom of God." How much emphasis do you place in the church? God puts a strong emphasis. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Don't forsake it. You know what we did this morning? We FaceTimed the Lord Jesus Christ. We got together. We're encouraging one another. And we're looking up at Jesus. And He's looking down on FaceTime. "I'm coming back." And we're going, "We can't wait. And what do you have for us?" "Well, my Father's house are many mansions. For not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm coming again to receive you, that where I am, you may be also." Woo! It sounds like an exciting gift. And by the way, Josh and children, are you being good for me? You're not causing any problems, are you? You're honoring your dad, your father, your heavenly father? Yes, Lord. Can't wait to see him. Let's pray. All heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's moving. No one's looking around. Let's talk about salvation first. Not everybody's going to go to heaven. Not everybody is a part of the local church by being saved. They're not part of the church family. The church is the blood washed. Amen. Those have been saved by the good grace of Jesus. If you died right now, do you know for certain that you'd go to heaven? Not everybody's going. Not everybody's going. Only a few. A narrow population, to be honest. 7 billion people in the world, and only a small group's going. But that doesn't mean you don't have to be a part of it. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. He died for you this morning to give you eternal life. A present possession of eternity. I will not embarrass you, but if you say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Can I pray for you?" I'm going to snap my finger. You say, "Preacher, I don't know this morning. If I died right now, I do not know for certainty that I'm going to go to heaven. Preacher, pray for me." I will not embarrass you. Anybody like that, slip your hand up right now. "I don't know if I'm going to heaven, preacher. Pray for me." Thank you. Anybody else? We do this every service. "I don't know for certain I'm going to go to heaven, preacher. Pray for me." If you're saved this morning, the church ought to be very important. Make principles that you don't miss the house of God, especially the body of believers you belong to. You encourage us, and you'll be encouraged too. The day you're ready to give up will be the day that Christ will help you. Learn to plan your life around so you don't make plans and you miss church. You got to go somewhere, be back for church. Let Christ know that you're excited about His appearing. And that's what you do when you meet together, looking to the day. Father in heaven, help us this morning. Give our lives to Jesus in this area. I pray You'd work greatly